DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The war in Ukraine still raging. Russia's defense ministry says its forces captured the eastern Ukrainian town of Soledar. That town was the focus of a bloody battle because of its strategic location for Ukrainian soldiers and supply lines. Powerful thunderstorms and tornadoes ripping across the south. At least 7 dead, with destruction from Mississippi to Georgia to Kentucky to Alabama.
Nearly 24 tornadoes were reported in Alabama yesterday alone, damaging or destroying up to 50 homes in Autauga County. And in Selma, brick buildings collapsed and traffic poles were destroyed just blocks from the city's famed Edmund Pettus Bridge.
ABC's Christy Aletto. An update on the case of a 6-year-old boy who shot his teacher in an elementary school classroom. The superintendent said in a town hall last night the student's backpack was searched on a tip he may have had a weapon. This is ABC News. A major bank in California facing a record settlement accused of discriminating against Black and Latino communities. ABC's Andrea Fujii has more.
The Justice Department claims Los Angeles-based City National Bank refused to underwrite mortgages in predominantly Black and Latino areas of the city from 2017 to 2020 and discouraged residents in these neighborhoods from obtaining mortgage loans. The complaint also claims the bank opened only one branch in Black and Hispanic communities in 20 years, and that location had no employees to take mortgage applications.
Elvis Presley's only child, Lisa Marie, has died after a sudden cardiac arrest. ABC's Byron Pitts.
Presley was the mother to 4 children, including actress Riley Keough and twin daughters Harper and Finley Lockwood. Tragedy struck the Presley family again in 2020 when Lisa Marie's 27-year-old son, Benjamin Keough, died by suicide.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
Oshkosh Air Support, your home for news, talk, and sports from Stevens Point to Fond du Lac. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
Oshkosh Air Support is 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Winnebago County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The TikTok social media app is now banned on Wisconsin state government computers, cell phones, and other devices. Officials are concerned TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and get a hold of their data. Governor Evers says he made the decision after talking with the FBI, Homeland Security, and cybersecurity experts. Too much winter road salt is bad for drinking water as well as lakes, rivers, and streams. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The group Wisconsin Saltwise says 1 teaspoon of salt can make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater fish and other organisms. Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week is the 23rd through the 27th. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
You'd never knowingly feed your pup mystery meat or spoiled grocery store food, so why are those some of the most common protein sources in kibble today? Yep, the dog food ingredient, meat meal, can be made of spoiled supermarket meat and packing plant scraps.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. Your dog needs a biologically appropriate diet similar to what they would eat in the wild. That's why I developed Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw food made with premium cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, and superfood veggies and fruit.
Bailey is 12 years old. He has been on your food for 9 bags now.
Nature's Blend is pantry safe and has 0 artificial preservatives, additives, filler, or meat meal.
He's got more energy, able to run around and play when our grandson comes.
For a limited time, save 54% off Nature's Blend and receive a free pack of premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/dogs or text dogs to 511-511.
I can't thank you enough. He's 12 and I'm enjoying every day with him.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 1 additional text. Text stop to opt out.
I'm looking at the phone line.
headlines, I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, they Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, they Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news, talk, and sports station is Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM, always on the Civic Media app.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right, man. It's Friday, man. We made it.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Through all the hardship
of
this week.
I'm looking at this guy across from me when I say we finally made it. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, well, you look bewildered when I said we made it.
I'm not sure what we made it to. We made it past Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, I mean, it means a few days off.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
For those of us in the salt mines, It's the salt mine.
So that's what Soledar is, I think. It's the in Ukraine, I think they're fighting over a salt mine right now.
So yeah, that's part of, and it looks like one of the places that they're losing in. Supposedly Russia's doing pretty good. We gotta talk a lot about it's a lot of stuff going on there and it's just not getting any better. But before we go anywhere, I got an announcement I want to make, so we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations and doing something big to celebrate. It's the $1 million advertising giveaway. This is your chance to work with our Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business For free, up to about $5,000, you'll be able to get that for free. Save the application date. It's Thursday, January 26th. Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be part of the conversation happening there. Full details at civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone know you heard about this on the Earl Ingram Show. The radio station is going to be giving away $1 million worth of free advertising, and that's what you should be aware of and let others know. The only thing that you need to do in order to qualify for this is to, you know, on Thursday, January 26th, you need to go to the Civic Media website and fill out the application. So, I'm confused now. I've never done a live commercial reading on the air, and I don't know if I...
What happens next?
I think I butchered it. Huh?
Oh. No, you did just fine.
No, well, January 26th, Thursday, January 26th at 9 a.m. is the application date. So that's the only time you can fill out the applications. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and be part of the conversation happening there. That's where you get all the information, and you'll hear this continue throughout now all the way through to 26 on all of the radio stations that encompass Civic Media. All right. Where did there's something here, Sandy, that threw me off. While I'm trying to get refocused, Sandy, talk about something.
Just talk, eh?
Yeah. I don't know, well, man. It just short-circuited me.
Everything went.
Yeah. And well, I'm trying to...
There used to be a guy on the radio named Arthur Godfrey.
I remember Arthur Godfrey.
Arthur Godfrey was... And the best thing he did was advertisements for all of his commercials. There was a time on both radio and TV where the commercials were done by the host.
Right.
And he just did, and Godfrey was on because he was really good at doing commercials. That was about all he was good at.
Sandy, you brought up a man named Arthur Godfrey.
I don't know anyone.
And I may be the only other person in the world.
I know.
Well, who remembers Arthur Godfrey.
This show doesn't have to be interesting all of the time.
But I mean, the fact that I remember Arthur Godfrey.
Yeah, he had a show. It was Arthur Godfrey and all the little Godfreys.
Yeah.
And he had all these other people. It was a variety show. It was pretty boring. And he'd go to Hawaii once a year and do the show from Hawaii.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, I want to, as I'll probably remember and bring everything back together after the break. So it's going to be a struggle until then. I don't know why, but it will be. But you know, Sandy, I here in Waukesha, I guess they do a jamboree, and I was watching it on the news today, and I think it lasts, what, kind of 10 days? 10 days or longer, ice sculpting, all sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What they did was just to cover themselves in case they wound up with conditions like they are now. The last snow that they had, they gathered it up and stored it somewhere so they can bring that snow out and use it for snow sculpting, ice sculpting. But I was watching on television. It just seemed weird to me that you gather up snow, but I guess...
Well, in fact, I was just read about it. I think they've got some ski championships, the European ski championships in Switzerland, and it's way too warm, and so they're bringing snow down from the top of the mountain. They're transporting it around to try and make sure that they've got some snow for...
So this lack of snow is happening not just...
Well, the glaciers are melting everywhere, and the effect of that apparently that level, it's at, up in the mountains where the glaciers actually mattered in Europe, it's having an effect. Yeah.
Well, the Arctic's cold can't get free. It's locked up where it normally is, and it can't get out. You know what they're really talking about when they say that?
And what's locked up?
The Arctic air is locked up.
Oh,
and it can't get free.
Oh, my.
And they're saying that's the reason that we're having this, you don't know.
Sounds like a conspiracy theory. No. I think it's El Nino. There are these weather patterns, and it's happened before where the polar
vortex
moves north and south. And when it moves way north, we end up with this warm weather. It's sort of like if you picture the polar weather system as a toupee. And the toupee is sitting on the Earth's head.
Right.
It will slide from one side to the other. So if it goes north in North America, it'll slide down in the south on the other side of the Earth, in the Eastern Hemisphere.
That's an analogy that only a Harvard graduate would give.
Yes, yeah. a sliding toupee. Well, it's something you can picture.
Yeah. So let me, they are really having a tough time in California, you know, with the continued rain. You sometimes wonder, and I think we touched on this a little bit before, it's nice to live in those kind of places, but man, if every now and then the Mother Nature really deals out a blow, right?
Well,
California didn't have a lot of water.
California has more than its share of problems with Mother Nature. It's got earthquakes,
right,
and it's got landslides. I think it has to do with sort of a desert climate that's subject to periodic rains, and the soil is not firm like it is here,
right?
So hillsides and whatever, when they get saturated, they slide down.
Well, torrential. I mean, these are torrential rains, and I think this past year they had these prolonged droughts. So it's either feast or famine, right? I mean, that's the part of it when you live in areas like that. But right now,
there's a price to be paid to live in a heavenly climate, apparently.
Yeah. So you and I, apparently, we're not looking for a heavenly...
No, I mean, actually, Wisconsin and the upper Midwest is sort of uniquely free of most of the major kinds of weather disasters.
Yeah, it is.
We don't have... Wisconsin itself is not subject to major flooding.
Hurricanes.
We have tornadoes, but tornadoes are local events, they don't have a broad systemic effect like a hurricane does. You know, hurricanes are an insurance company's nightmare because they happen in a broad geographic area with broad damage. Tornadoes are pretty easy to insure against because when they have their effect, it's more like a fire in a house than it is like a massive disruption.
Yeah, just thinking about these disasters that people have to deal with. And the fact that there's no insurance, right? I mean, all of those, that flooding, majority of it, only a handful of people, those who are really wealthy, can afford the insurance, the cost of insurance, right? I mean, because this happens again and again and again.
Yeah. Well, insurance gets more and more expensive. It's like flood insurance in places subject to flooding is like essentially not available.
Right.
The government had to step in and provide it. And, this whole analysis of flooding, it's kind of in a minor way, it's what's happened to health insurance. Not enough people have health insurance, so the people who are getting health insurance are the people who are most likely to get sick, and that makes it more expensive.
We got to get to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
What's going on?
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today with daytime highs approaching 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy again tomorrow. Highs around 34. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
Stay informed with Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM. From Beaver Dam to New London, your choice for news, talk, and sports.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, Springfield, Illinois passed a historic assault weapons ban earlier this week, and it was a full-out political campaign involving some of the biggest players in Chicago business, politics, and political consulting. Turns out the business community invested a lot of money
in favor of the ban.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me why the business community would see that as.
Well, I think, I think the gun rights movement is not a business-based movement other than the gun manufacturers.
Right.
These kind of local restrictions on arms will be, I'm sure it'll be brought to the attention of the courts, and the national, the NRA will litigate whether it's a permissible restriction. But, localities are entitled to restrict firearms. You can restrict firearms in certain places so that localities can decide that firearms aren't allowed in churches or various kinds of places, and those things have been subject to litigation as to whether they're valid restrictions on this constitutional right to bear arms that everyone seems so fired up about. The sorry thing is that Illinois is a state that has more restrictions on firearms than many states do, and it's proof that the gun problem goes beyond legislation and problems, because obviously Chicago continue has to have a great deal of
right.
problems with firearms and crimes, and the NRA loves to point that out. The people who are against gun restrictions point at Illinois and say there's lots of gun restrictions in Chicago. What good is it doing? It's a little bit. It's an odd sort of a defense, because it's basically an admission that guns are a big problem. And they're just saying, well, you can't do anything about it using laws, but maybe you could do something about it if you could get rid of guns. That would be an interesting.
But they're not. But then they're talking about assault weapons.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're not restricting people's rights to have It's just this particular assault weapons.
Particular assault weapons. And there was, you know, a national, for a while, there were national restrictions on it in the Clinton period.
Right.
So, you know, I think Biden, they're talking about trying to do it again on a national basis. You know, what possible reason can Tom, Dick, and Mary have for having an AR-15 stashed in the trunk of their car or wherever you would have your AR-15? And I think the belief is that the Supreme, it would pass muster to have restrictions on certain kinds of weapons. I think the AR-15, I think the public safety issues associated with it would be sufficient to say, look, we're not restricting the ability of people, you know, because, for instance, the restriction on machine guns has been in place for a long time.
That's a great point. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are restrictions on the types of weapons you can have that are valid. The question is, where do you draw the line? And, you know, I think that those who are worried about mass killings, for instance, that are facilitated by something like an AR-15, believe that the line should be drawn, certainly with weapons like AR-15s and assault
Sandy,
rifles.
The point that you brought up in Chicago with all the continued murders, they aren't, for the most part, they aren't with the AR-15.
No.
And
and in fact, we had the fellow on the radio that time who was talking about the, and he was a supporter of, he was the one who was providing protective vests to police.
Right.
And then I asked him
Michael
about,
Letts,
yeah, and then I asked him about whether, what his feeling was about guns, and he clearly was a very gung-ho, guns rights guy. And he would begin to go in the direction of saying, well, the criminal element is starting to use AR-15s. And, you know, that criminal element does not include the kind of killings that are done by guns in the city of Milwaukee or in the city of Chicago. Those are all pistols. And the criminal element that's using AR-15s tends to be something that looks much more like domestic terrorists or crazed individuals out to commit mass murders. So it's hard to think that we should be worrying about that criminal element in the way we decide to allow people to bear arms.
So do you, in order for something like that to occur, you know that the lobbyists are certainly going to be pushing back. It's a lot of money engaged and involved in trying to prevent people from purchasing those weapons. This may be something that won't stand for very long. Clearly, it's not going to stand without a fight, right?
Yeah, there'll be a legal fight. And, you know, this all happened sort of under my radar. I had no idea that AR-15s had become such a predominant weapon in terms of the sales and profits that are generated by those who make guns. But, you know, in the last quarter century, 20 million assault rifles have been acquired by private individuals. These are expensive guns.
Right.
And 20 million guns is more than the rifle industry, the assault rifle industry, was selling to the United States government. So it's clearly
a problem.
It's clearly a big business model. Is if you make assault rifles, part of your business model is to sell it to the public.
You know, Sandy, and if the assault rifles hadn't been used in the slaughter of people, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, you know, multiple people.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be, you know, the issue that it is now, but the fact that people have used them to slaughter.
Well, what use is there for a gun that has a clip that'll fire 100 rounds a minute in a long rifle?
Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
From the home of the Wisconsin Herd, your news, talk, and sports station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The war in Ukraine still raging. Russia's defense ministry says its forces captured the eastern Ukrainian town of Soledar. That town was the focus of a bloody battle because of its strategic location for Ukrainian soldiers and supply lines. Powerful thunderstorms and tornadoes ripping across the South. At least 7 dead, with destruction from Mississippi to Georgia to Kentucky to Alabama.
Nearly 24 tornadoes were reported in Alabama yesterday alone, damaging or destroying up to 50 homes in Autauga County. And in Selma, brick buildings collapsed and traffic poles were destroyed just blocks from the city's famed Edmund Pettus Bridge.
ABC's Christy Aletto. An update on the case of a 6-year-old boy who shot his teacher in an elementary school classroom. The superintendent said in a town hall last night the student's backpack was searched on a tip he may have had a weapon. This is ABC News.
From the heart of Wisconsin's Event City, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Therapists, social workers, and counselors in Wisconsin can resume trying to change clients' gender identities and sexual orientations. The Evers administration banned conversion therapy in 2020, but Republicans who control the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules lifted the ban yesterday. LGBTQ rights advocates say conversion therapy has been debunked and is even harmful. A Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he stands by what he said in an email praising lower voter turnout among Black and Hispanic voters in Milwaukee in November. Other members of the bipartisan panel say they want Robert Spindell to resign, but Spindell says he's staying put. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hain Meatpacking in Kaukauna offers advice to save a life. If you're at a family function or party and you've been drinking, don't leave the party and try and get behind the wheel. Consider safe options like riding home with a designated driver, calling a cab, or staying overnight. If you notice a friend or relative in no condition to drive, please make sure they do not. This message comes to you from Hain Meatpacking. That's Hain Meatpacking in Kaukauna. They have been in business since 1979, reminding you to think before you drink.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always,
you don't know.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, Paul Ryan has all of a sudden resurfaced.
A name from the past. He's, he keeps popping back into the news to. Initially, I thought he was really just trying to sober up the Republican Party and doing a public duty of trying to be the honest broker to try and persuade the Republican Party that they ought to move away from Trump. But lately, his appearances have become more numerous. he's doing this commentary on Fox News, which seems to be a way that people want to keep themselves in the public eye. So, you know, maybe Paul has a vision of returning to the public eye by running for office.
Well, yesterday he was on CNN, of all places. So he's certainly visible. He said when he walked away from this that he wanted to spend more time with his family. Maybe he's done that and said, oh, wait a minute, maybe spending more time.
Yeah, maybe. It's like Tom Brady. Oops.
Yeah, and maybe spending more time with the family. You know, how does one who's been in the spotlight as much as Paul Ryan, and still a young man, still a relatively young man, is on the national stage, and, you know, and then you just wind up just being a father, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure that, yeah. I mean, it's much like being a professional football player, being in the public eye, getting all sorts of attention, getting all sorts of privileges, being famous is probably a hard thing to drop and to walk away from. And Ryan, Speaker of the House, ran for vice president. Right. He obviously was near the summit. He's always been a person of ambition. He's always been a bit of an ideologue. You know, he's got a vision for conservative politics. He's a bit of a policy wonk. He was the tax, kind of supposedly a tax expert when he was a congressman.
Right.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised that he would resurface. My only view is that his part of the Republican Party has sort of disappeared. It sort of shrank to nothing during the Trump period. And he might well be testing the water to see if it can be resurrected. You know, he's a different and more reasonable person, I think, than Pence. And I think his view is that, well, okay, if people are looking for a respectable alternative to Donald Trump, I can be a better respectable alternative than Pence.
I kind of think he's probably been recruited by the Republican Party to come back and maybe, show some...
I guess. My sense is the party... neither party, but particularly the Republican Party, doesn't have the kind of organization that goes out and recruits national figures. He might well have been approached by people who he views as being important, but the people who have more importance in terms of being able to consult with someone like Paul Ryan are the people who are taking polls, not because the Republican Party can't provide anyone with any sort of promise that they'll get the nomination. Certainly not after the Trump situation, where the Republican Party was trying to stand in the way of Donald Trump getting nominated.
So here's what he had to say on Thursday. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan said on Thursday that former President Trump is a proven loser after a string of Republican election losses in recent years. He's fading fast, Ryan told CNN's Jake Tapper on Thursday. He's a proven loser. He cost us the House in 18. He cost us the White House in 20. He cost us the Senate again and again. This is pretty powerful indictment of Donald Trump. Ryan said he does not believe Trump will get the party nomination as Republicans begin to focus more on issues like fiscal responsibility and less on personalities. Now, to be fair, Donald Trump has, attacked Paul Ryan over the last few years many times. And Ryan has been pretty silent on it. But the fact that he would come out now and kind of get in the way of this and get involved in this conversation is what leads me to believe there's something else going on.
Well, he has been talking like this for a while. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. I happen to think Ryan's a pretty respect. You know, of all the Republicans who might run for office, he'd certainly be one of the easiest to digest
right.
in terms of a view of him. He and quite frankly, Romney, both of them seem to have a reasonable approach to things and are both capable of bipartisan conduct.
Well, the difference to me is Romney's still involved in political office, hasn't left, hasn't gone anywhere. And so it's the reason that I, you know, just seeing Ryan out there saying the things that he's saying since he's been so basically silent on it is what kind of led me to even look at this. And maybe I'm reading more into it than I should, but I don't know. I just think.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, when Ryan was running for vice president, lots of people had a very negative view of this guy who was a follower of Ayn Rand to the point of saying that she was the writer that was the most responsible for his thought processes about government. And that was kind of a scary thing. But now he looks like an entirely reasonable sort of guy. And in the rearview mirror, it's interesting how because the party, the Republican Party, has moved so far, we can look backwards in time, and while people can decide that George Bush II had a lot of problems with his foreign affairs, you know, he's looked more reasonable. Mitt Romney looks reasonable. All these people look more reasonable in the rearview mirror.
You know, you just pointed out George Bush Jr., and I really thought, you know, yeah, I miss you now, George Bush Jr. Do you miss me yet? Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would have ever imagined that we would be saying that we missed him. But things were a little easier. I mean, we were in a couple wars, got us involved in a couple wars, but he just was a different kind of person. He was a jovial kind of guy, right? And,
well, I do think ex-presidents, to the extent that they, you can see who they really are. So like Jimmy Carter, I think Jimmy Carter did not have a good presidency. He was not viewed as a terribly competent president. He was a one-term president. He probably lost because of the third party the third party run by John Anderson and Pat Lucey. But still, after his term, when he, you know, as an ex-president,
people got to see who he really was.
Yeah, just get to see who he really is.
A good person.
Yeah, really an outstanding human being. One of the most outstanding human beings.
No question. Ever as a president.
Yeah.
And so he was one of my favorite presidents. And even though, and the reason was because his humanity. He was in a position, in a job, that really required some ruthless thinking sometimes, and I don't think he had that in him. And as you stated, what he did after his life, people respected him, even though there were so many people who dismissed him during the time he was president. But yeah. Jimmy Carter, as he is today, still a wonderful human being. But here's where I want to go, Sandy. Where is it at? Oh, so the Republican Party and McCarthy and they've set out their plan and what they are going to do and what they want to do and things that they're going to be focusing on. Look, most of it is not going anywhere. It's divided government.
Well, in fact, it's clearly what they're doing in this first phase, at least, is purely symbolic action. None of it's going to go anywhere. The notion of taking the money away from the IRS, symbolic, you know, and it's cheap symbolism, you know, the IRS. What a cheap enemy to develop. And you know, you talked about it in one of your earlier shows, but it's kind of a crazy focus. You know, tax revenues are an important thing to collect. Whether you want the taxes to be lower or higher, you still want to collect them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that distinguishes the United States is that we have very little tax cheating. You know, most countries have a great deal of trouble collecting taxes from everyone. We have a very effective tax collection system. And to the extent that we need individuals to do audits, audits are not, audits by human beings, by human staff, are typically for wealthier, more complicated tax returns. If you and I were to screw around with our tax returns, a computer would catch us.
Like Donald Trump. did with his. And like not only him, but just a tax code that is skewed and allows that.
Well, a tax code is complicated. People hire tax accountants. That some of them urge their tax accountants to take aggressive positions, meaning test the edge of the envelope. They don't go all the way to tax fraud. They're just testing whether they can interpret it as narrowly as possible in terms of the taxes they owe. Those are the kind of things that result in audits. Audits don't necessarily end up with fraud penalties. They just end up with late payment penalties because of the fact that you interpreted the tax laws in a way that were too favorable to you. And that's what audits usually are about.
So when you look at the debt that we owe, our national debt, I forgot which president, I know it was a Republican, cut back on tax collectors. I don't know what you call them, the 93,000 people are going to bring in.
Yeah.
What president was it that cut back?
Well, Trump's period cut back on funding for the IRS.
And I think somebody else did too. They cut back agents a while back, you know, and part of this is kind of led to our deficits.
Well,
you don't think so?
Well, yeah.
I mean, not being able to collect it.
Theoretically, for instance, the analysis by some office that analyzes the fiscal impact of bills suggests that if they roll back this money for the IRS right now, that's like $83 billion or whatever the amount is, that they will lose in tax collections $115 billion over a period of time because of their inability to follow up on taxes. It's an interesting number. My suspicion is that it's, to the extent that auditing really is effective, the number could be far larger because, as I said, the United States is very good at collecting taxes. Most countries are not. You go Italy and a whole bunch of countries, tax evasion is the norm. And they have not been good at being able to get people to just willingly pay the taxes they owe. Everyone says, "Okay, catch me if you can." And if we develop an IRS which is not capable of chasing after people, American taxpayers will develop that same "catch me if you can" philosophy about paying taxes, and revenues could drop way off.
Well, you know, Sandy, the average everyday Joe, it doesn't have, you know, it's not a whole lot he can hide.
Well, first of all, taxes are withheld.
Right.
And so people who are on salaries basically pay their taxes every paycheck
right.
over a period of time. And now they could increase their withholdings against their paycheck so that they'd end up possibly owing some money at the end of the year.
Yeah, but not insurmountable amounts of money.
And not a very big amount of money.
Right.
And so, yeah, Tom, Dick, and Mary pay their taxes at work, and they pay it every month. So this whole notion that, and so, you know, the Republicans are saying, well, we're going to cut back on these guys because all they want to do is audit small businesses.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today, with daytime highs approaching 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy again tomorrow. Highs around 34. Temperatures well above average. Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
We are Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM, your source for news, talk, and the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I'm trying to understand the Republican Party has decided these are things we're going to move on. These are things that we want to see changed. And so you and I were talking.
Is always in a position to use the legislation they introduce as political theater to just demonstrate what it is they'd like to do. They can throw red meat to their followers. I mean, you know, the progressive movement has for a long time proposed legislation that they knew had no chance of passing. Not that it wouldn't be meritorious legislation to pass, but they knew that it didn't have a chance of passing, and they were really just basically demonstrating to the people who are following them what it is they would like to pass. And I guess that's the same thing the Republicans are doing, is they're throwing meat to the people who follow them. But some of it is just so directly anti-government. I mean, the Republican Party has developed it's not like it's the party of businessmen who want to limit government but would propose that the government that remains conduct itself in a very efficient and competent manner. No, the Republicans seem to be against competent government. They seem to be wanting to strip government of its capacity to operate competently, even in the areas where everyone would agree that the government ought to operate.
So they want to...
So they're like the IRS. The IRS is definitely something that both parties would agree ought to operate competently so that taxes can be collected, because it's necessary. And there's plenty of lessons around the world about how it is that if taxes are not collected in a manner that causes everyone to believe that they'll just generally have to pay them, they don't get paid.
So for instance, $130 billion is what the House Republicans are saying they want to cut out of the present budget. There's no chance that they're going to be able to cut $130 billion out of a budget that's already been passed. And inside of that budget, they clearly are stating we're not going to touch defense spending, but everything else is on the table. And so maybe that makes some people feel good, but the truth of the matter is none of that is even possible.
Well, it's, like I said, political theater. It's simply a way for them to talk about the issues that are the core issues that they would run on in the next election. that they can talk about in the next election. And so, you know, it's not functional. It's dysfunctional. But political theater has always been around. And, you know, the problem is that when you've got paralysis, then everything that people talk about with respect to the laws they want to pass really amount to nothing more than political theater.
You know, and so, again, when you hear that being said, the other side of the equation, the media on the progressive side is going to jump on that as if it's possible that this is going to happen. Let's bring Dave from MEC1 on. Good morning, Dave. What do you say? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Merrill. Good morning, Sandy. Really quickly, we just saw what happened just a few days ago with the Department of Transportation, where every single airline was canceled or stopped because of a computer shutdown with the FAA. There's 58,000 employees that work at a federal level in the Department of Transportation. Okay? Pete Buttigieg was gone for almost 6 months on paternity leave. So my point is, and their budget for that department is roughly around $24 billion. And the reason why the computers shut down is it's not adequately up to date. And we're spending literally trillions of dollars and who knows what. And our infrastructure, in this case, you know, with the FAA, is so inadequate that I wouldn't be surprised if this happens again, just because it's very outdated. We still have computers that we're using in other departments from the 1950s.
So Dave, in fact, you know, you've hit right on the point I was making, that the competence of government in the last 25 years or 50 years, probably, the ability of our government to do what it is intended to do. For instance, FEMA. FEMA has demonstrated repeatedly that it has developed incompetence in terms of the way it can deliver its very important service, and that was demonstrated under Bush. People wanted to blame the Bush administration for it, and of course the current administration has somewhat to blame, but this erosion of competence has happened over decades, and it's been an assault on government, and you would think that. Yes, I can understand the argument over how much government we should have, but I don't understand the assault on whether the government that we all agree we should have should operate competently. And, for instance, the FAA is clearly an element of government that everyone agrees we must have, and this failure was clearly the result of a failure to maintain and a failure to improve and to continue with on the learning curve of how to present the most competent sort of FAA service that is running one of the most critical channels of transportation we have, our airlines.
Well, Joe Biden created... Hang on a second, Dave. Joe Biden created the infrastructure bill. And there was pushback against that because he realized and admitted that we need to do something, and yet the things you're talking about, Sandy, there were people who were still opposed to it.
Well, I mean, included in the infrastructure bill was a broad range of things that I would agree with. For instance, child daycare was viewed as infrastructure, and there were those who opposed that for what I would say are ill-conceived reasons. But I just think that attacking the competence of and making it less possible to deliver good business, good government service is simply bad policy.
Hey Dave, you can hang on or call back. We've got to go to a break, and we'll come back to it on the other side. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Don't you?
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.